So, guys, in a normal year, where we had a little bit more time before Chagim, we would start with an introduction to what Agadata is, how you study Agadata, and the like, which I hope we'll do after Yom Tov. But maybe we'll just jump into Agadatas. I haven't quite decided. I guess it's up to you. But today I figured we would just do an Agadata. So my general minhag has been, for the last few years, is to study the Agadata of the Masechtot we're learning. In the past, I stuck to the ones we're learning Be'iyun. This year, both Bava Batra, which we're learning Be'iyun, and Sota, which we're learning Be'kiyut, are both very rich in Agadata. Sota is about 50% Agadata. Bava Batra is some of the most famous Agadatas in Shas. The Gra wrote an entire book just on the Agadatas between Daf Ayin, just in the Ayins in Bava Basra. So there are a lot of very famous Agadata to deal with. So this year I left myself open to doing Sota as well as Bava Batra. There are a lot of wonderful ones in Sota. On the first Daf, as Ganapolsky has not yet asked me, but there's wonderful things like the source of Bashert, which is a wonderful Agadata, which we have to do at some point because it is so weird. It is so weird that I spoke about that Agadata at my engagement party. It's such a weird Agadata. It's wonderful. It's a great Agadata. But in general, we won't do the full introduction, but about a seventh of Shas is Agada, which includes ethical teaching, which includes drashot psukim, which includes stories which are inspirational, which includes all types of wonderful things. And it's there to provide context to halacha, to teach philosophical lessons, to give you advice, moral advice, pragmatic advice. Because Torah is about more than just halacha. And to understand Agada, you need to have a literary sense. You need to, in certain cases, be able to read code, decode text, which are clearly written in esoteric writing. Today, because, and as you know, anyone who's been in any of my shiurim knows that sometimes we go through topics very carefully, so it takes more than one shiur to get through a topic. Agadata is no different, but I didn't have that option this week. So I picked a very, very short Agadata, but it is one of my favorite little Agadot. I called this year, "Look at me, I'm humble," which you said someone said is intriguing, but in fact, it is what the Gemara actually says. This is a very bizarre Gemara right at the end of Sota, but I think it's a nice little Gemara to do before the Yamim Noraim. Okay? So, I will read the Mishnah that it's based on, and I will give one of you the joy of reading this beautiful one-line Gemara. Okay, here's the background to the Gemara. The Mishnah at the end of Sota is an elegy for a age-long past. Okay? Mishamet Rabbi Meir batlu moshle mishalim. Right? When Rabbi Meir died, the people who were capable of giving good parables disappeared. He was the last great storyteller. Mishamet ben Azai batlu ashakdanim. When Ben Azai died, there are a few more source sheets that came out, so you can pass them out. When Ben Azai died, the people who were masmidim, who really learned, who were diligent, that was it. He was the last diligent learner. Mishamet ben Zoma batlu adarshanim. When Ben Zoma died, it was the last of the people who knew how to... What? Do exegesis of the Torah, drasha, right? Not drasha, drasha, right? If we have to distinguish. Mishamet Rabbi Yeshua paskat tova min olam. When Yeshua died, good left the world. Mishamet Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel ba govai v'rabu atzarot. When Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel died, the locust came and troubles. It was 2020, right? It was 2020, right? I saw a meme yesterday. Time traveler comes to 2020. Am I here before or after the catastrophe? Do you know how little you've just narrowed it down? Right? So that's what happened here. Mishamei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah pasuk Osher ben Achachamim. When Elazar ben Azariah died, wealth was no longer amongst the wise. Mishamei Rabbi Kiva batal kavara Torah. When Rabbi Kiva died, no more honor of the Torah. Mishamei Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa batlu anshe maase. Chanina ben Dosa, that was the end of people who were tzaddikim and did good actions. Mishamei Rabbi Yosi Katunta pasuk Chasidim. He was the last of the righteous people. Velama nikra shemo Kantuta shaya Kantuta shel Chasidim. He was the least of these Chasidim. And the last, Mishmeir Yochanan Zakkai, but the Ziv HaChachma, the shine, the glory of wisdom disappeared. Mishmeir Rabbi Gamliel Hazaken, when Rabbi Gamliel Hazaken died, batal kavara Torah umeita tahara uprishut. This is pretty intense, right? The honor of Torah disappeared, and purity and prishut, like sexual purity, disappeared. Right, all that went with Rabbi Gamliel alone. Rabbi Yishmael Ben Pavi batal ziv hakahuna, the glory of the kuna left. Mishamet Rebbe, when Rebbe died, batla anova v'yirat chet. There was no more humility or fear of sin. Yes. What? Yeah, whatever. It's a wonderful elegy. Okay, good. We can talk about this Mishnah a lot. There's a lot going on. I want to focus on one line in the Gemara, which is one of my favorite lines. Okay, who wants to take this wonderful, wonderful line?
I already know, like,
yes, I have mentioned it before. Good, Rami, take it away. Second source.
Yeah, okay. So,
yeah, he said to the person, yeah. Yeah, that's his line. Don't say humility is gone, because there's me. That's it. That is the line, right? And then, right, that's it. And then Rav Nachman says the exact same thing about Yerad Chet. Okay, this is the line. That's the line I want to understand. One line, because this Agadita is one line, and it is begging, begging to be understood. Okay? So first things first, Rabbi Yitzi Blau points out that this is one of the Gemaras that he invokes as evidence of humor in the Talmud. Okay? This is a perfectly well-played irony. It is a beautiful scene, right? It is, it's just, it's perfect. It's perfect, right? I think it was 2 years ago already that I gave a shiur on humor in the Talmud as part of Agadita. This is one that he picks up on as irony. He has one about slapstick also. If you think there isn't slapstick in the Talmud, you're wrong. There is. It's a Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Lamed Zayin. Also one of my favorite Gemaras. You guys weren't here. It was 2 years ago. You don't know this Gemara? I've mentioned it before because it's great. Yes, and what is it? What happened to the Gemara? Let's see if you remember it. So what happens in the Gemara is that somebody punches someone in the jaw, right? It's deemed that the damage is half a zuz. So he tries to pay with a zuz coin, but it's a damaged coin, so the person won't give him change. So he punches him the other jaw and gives him the zuz. Right? There is no doubt the Gemara knew what it was doing when it wrote that. Right? It is perfectly, perfectly well played. This is another one of those Gemaras. Right? It is. There is. You would think that there's clearly, if the Gemara didn't know that this came across as humorous, right? But there's a serious thing going on here. But everyone looked at this line, right? You don't have to, right? It's a good Agadita because you don't have to know much about Agadita to look at this line and say, what are you talking about? Right? What are you talking about? Right? How, in what universe does someone piping up and say, don't say humility is gone because there's me? Right? It's like, this is like the plot of how many movies and TV shows of the person who, right, in the cringy, like, date profile puts, you know, smart, brilliant, rich, humble, right? Like, it's like the plot of a joke. Who, what does this mean? Yeah. So you would think that, except the next line is the same thing about Yerad Chet, which you might say is the same thing. Who can say, I have fear of sin, right? That's, so it could be, just be, it's ironic, right? It's meant to come and show you, aha, right? People don't even see that that's, right, that that's ironic. It could be, right? But most people look at Rabbi Yosef and they're just like, really? Right? This is Rabbi Yosef. There's something going on. Right? There's something going on. And so here everybody pops up and says something. Now, methodologically speaking, okay, what choices do we have to do? What choices do we have to deal with this Gemara? What choices? What directions? Yeah, Rami. Yeah, but how is that humble, right? So then if you want to say, yes, he's saying that, then you have to go ahead and reinterpret Anava, and we have to figure out how to do that, yeah. Right? Now, okay, the first option, let's try the first option. The first option is ignore. Pretend this never happened. In this particular case, that approach is attributed to the Gra. The Gra is quoted as saying that Anna was a person. Anna normally means I, but the Gra says, no, I cannot believe it says what it says. It never happened. Anna is a person. And Rabbi Yosef said, no, don't say that humility is gone. There's that person named I. Right? That person over there named I, you know, Anna. Right? So the Gra looks at this Gemara and says, this is not humility. I am going to ignore the existence of this Gemara. And in desperation, I will say that I doesn't mean I. It means the person named I. Right? I have a chavrusa, I kid you not, who named his son, he didn't want his kid to ever make Yerida, so he figured if he gave him a horrible English name on his passport, right, it would do that. So his name on his passport is after you. So if someone says who you're named after, he says after you. Right? That's his actual legal name. Okay? People do this because there was a family in Alon Shvet. He got the inspiration because a family in Alon Shvet that did this to all 8 of their kids. Right? They have the Berkowitzes. They have Berkowitz, James Berkowitz. They have Stephen Danger Berkowitz, so his middle name is Danger. They have Just Berkowitz. Right? They have, right? So they did this with all their kids. One of them lives on my block. So he got the inspiration from it. So apparently it was someone who named their kid I. Great. So, what? Yeah. Yeah. Though I just gave you that Chaim Kanievsky quotes this, and he says, I heard this from the Gra, but he said, I once asked Rav Meltzer, and he said, I don't know if the Gra ever said such a thing. Right? Like, that is such a cop-out. He's like, I've heard it. I can't believe anyone ever said that. I don't know. We don't have it in writing. It's attributed to the Gra. Okay. But obviously, one option is just to ignore that this ever happened. Okay? Obviously, that's not the option most people took. So now, what options would they take? So, what directions do we have? Right? Before we see specifics, what directions could we take to understand this Agadata? What could we do? Right? What type of answer? So, okay, right? He could be he's being facetious. Okay, right? Which is another way of ignoring, essentially, this. Yeah, what else? And, okay, good. So now explain it. He's serious. Now what? I assume he is serious. There might be some humor mixed in, but I assume there's a point. What's the point? So it could just be he doesn't understand what he's saying. Okay. Yeah. I'll come back to that. Yeah. Good. So, right? So one approach, and we'll come to this, because I think this is the most fundamental approach, is to say, maybe the point of this Gemara is to teach us that humility is not what you thought it was. You think that calling yourself humble is contradictory to the notion of humility, but maybe you're wrong. Right? That's going to be the most fundamental approach. Right? And then we can divide on exactly what is humility. And we'll see, several answers will take that methodological direction. Yeah. Good. I think the other right direction that some of Varshim say is, look, no, humility is exactly what you thought it is, and really, normally, a person wouldn't say, I'm humble. But these are extenuating circumstances, right? Where, right, even though, yeah, humility really means you wouldn't brag, But in this particular case, it was necessary, right? That's another direction we can take. And if you look through the Mevarshim, you'll see. So, for example, look at the Maharsha number 4. The Maharsha says, look, Ein derech chacham l'tpayer l'shtabech malatam. Right? Wise people, they don't talk about their own good deeds and good qualities. Right? Like we say, others should praise you, not you. That's not how things work. Mikol makom, kidei shelo yeshoneh habraita b'taut, amru kein, delo batla mishemet rebi, gam lo haye lo shevach b'dor b'oto dor, v'yerechet yimasu. But he said, he just didn't think it was true. Right? He just didn't think it was true. Right, that Rebbe was the last person, right? Meaning his point wasn't to aggrandize himself as much to say, no, he still exists. Or I think, to put it more than the Maharsha does, and this is in the Sefer Maharat Ayin, which I think is a little bit, pushes it farther, I'll take it in a second, where it's not just he thought it was wrong, more importantly, what did he think? Right, sort of what Adam was saying is, if you say that there is no more humility, what are people going to do? More importantly than that, what are they going to do? They're going to stop trying. So Rabbi Yossi normally wouldn't brag, but he came out and said, whoa, what do you mean? There's no anava, so you shouldn't try? So he pipes up and he says, I'm humble. Now, he may not have meant, I'm as humble as Rebbe. But his point was, don't think that Rebbe is gone and that's it. It's hopeless. Because if it's hopeless, right? What? That's a different Gemara. Maybe because Kavara Torah, to say that the glory of Torah is gone, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't learn Torah, right? Meaning Kavara Torah is a statement about the glory of Torah that exists. It's not about a quality in a person that you're supposed to be striving for, but character traits, right? Maybe. So if you look at the Maharat Ayin, that's what he says. He says, Nir Derev Yosef Nachman, Chaz V'Sham Debao Lagid Malatam. They're not coming to praise themselves. El Dechashu. They were worried, Shem Yeshagor Bafia Talmidim Chalukot, Elu Shema Yikaboteach Piv. He was worried that if people said there's no more fear of sin, there's no more humility, Vit Batlu Mehem Malot Elu, they would stop trying. They wouldn't have these at all. They wouldn't even partake of them. Maybe when Rebbe died, it wasn't perfect. But if you go around and saying, no, right? No one can be humble anymore. No one can fear sin. No one can be a Talmud Chacham. No one can... Right? U'menei yiro hochrchu lomar zeh v'kavaratam l'shamayim. Their intention was their heaven. Amamokam b'chasidav yizkenu sh'yakom ma'asein l'shem shamayim l'fnei elokim chayim. Right? So one possibility is to say, look, humility is exactly what you thought it was. Don't brag. Don't talk about yourself. So how can someone say he's humble? Extenuating circumstances. Extenuating circumstances, but humility is exactly what you thought it was. I'm going to show you the Rav Nachman of Breslov. I literally have no idea what he's talking about. I sat on it for a while last night. I have no idea. But maybe you know what he's saying, okay? I don't know. Oh, you had a question, yeah. No, okay. I don't know what it means. If you know what it means, please tell me. He's clearly trying to solve the question. I don't know. Umidat anava hu inyan achar lagamre. Anava is something else. V'ikr midat ha'anava. The very definition of the midah of humility. Kishiyeh b'madregash yuchal lechtov al atzmo k'moshe Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom v'ish Moshe anav mod. Is when you can get to the level that you can write about yourself that you're humble. Zeu madregat ha'anava b'tachlit. That is the essence of anava. K'moshe amatzinu ba'amoraim. Just like the amoraim shamar of Yosef lo titne anava d'ika'ana. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means. I just don't. Yes. It could be. Right? Meaning, he could mean a lot of things. I'm not sure. It could mean that he's saying that you get to the point where you can say it and no one will say, oh, he's bragging. I don't know, maybe. I just don't know. He could mean several of the things we're going to see. He's cryptic, so I'm just not sure. I wanted to share it in case it's something different from what we see after. He's clearly saying something. I can't put my finger on it. Yeah, Ezra.
Well, I was just wondering,
Bluth, yeah. Good, so we're going to get to that. He doesn't say it explicitly. He might mean that, which other people say explicitly. You're right. Yeah. No, he's the best. He's the best. I don't know. He did. That's Rav Nachman's point, is he did. I mean, God told him to write it, but still, he did. He did write it. He, in fact, wrote he was the humblest person ever. Yeah. Okay. So, but let's look at a few more fundamental approaches who say, no. It's not just that, humility means don't brag, and this was extenuating circumstances. The key to this Gemara is to understand, as humorous as it might be, that humility is not what you thought it meant. And there are several attempts at this. Okay? And again, I want you to see how from a one-liner, which is comical and, right, it's just fun to read, right, several of the farshim are going to present very profound ruminations on what is the nature of humility. Right? What is the quality? And, you know, in Yom Ha'arayim, it's probably a good thing to think about. Right? So let's look. So if you look at the Yismach Moshe, he writes, Katonti mikol ha'chasadim mikol ha'med asher asid. He's commenting on Yaakov's statement. And he says, Nearly. Dinei katuv eshkoda daka v'shafel ruach. V'imken Yaakov she'ana v'shafel ruach mifnei kol. L'kach amar adoni le'isav av shalo b'fanav. He says, okay, this is his background, okay? Yaakov was an Anav, to the point where, even not in front of Esav, he would refer to him as Adoni, right? He clearly had internalized a certain sense of treating others with deference as above him, okay? So why is he afraid? Doesn't he realize that he's therefore the type of person that God is with? So he quotes from the Lublin, and he says, "What is right?" This is his background to interpret Rabbi Yosef. You can leave aside the Yaakov point for a moment. Lotidni ana vadi ik ana dilchora im hechshiv atzmo la'anav. If he thought he was humble, ein lecha gaav geut maybe, yeah, geut. G'dola mizo v'avein. Isn't that the greatest arrogance to say, "Hi, I'm humble"? Ach yuvan al pi mashepirish ha-pasuk, ki lo bazeh v'lo shiketz, anavat ani deratza lomar, afil mishuhu be'emet ani bedat, im yodea umakir chesrono, bal yidei ze maktin atzmo, gam ze chashuv be'inav yitparach v'yesh lo toar anav. So he says, anava, if someone is an anav, but he knows his other lacks, and he diminishes himself in front of others, then that's also an anav. So what is he saying? Right? What's Yismach Moshe saying? He seems to think there's two types of anava. One is, right, not bragging, but the other is that for him, anava is, or ga'ava is, lording over others. And therefore, if you actively treat others as greater than you, because you recognize you have other faults, right? That's anava, right? Anava is not bragging, it's not lording yourself over others. So even if you recognize you're humble, but if you actively treat others as greater than yourself, that's humility. Right? That's his claim. And that's what he thinks that Yaakov is doing as well. Right? He's nasa atzmo ka'ayin. He's treating himself as nothing. And that's what he's saying, katonti, right? I'm nothing. Right? So the first attempt at this is to say, anava is not showing off. It's the way in which you relate to others. Right? That's claim one. Right? The Nachlat Yaakov takes another attempt, which I admit is a bit complicated, but I'll share it. Okay. He says as follows. Hanir ebechavanatam, dihine, belavach ikasha haditani, mishemait rebi batla nafa. Bayu harbe tanaim, vichiloeb emanav, kiim rebi. Right, this is Yosef's question. Right, he was bothered by two questions, right? One is, how could he call himself an anav? And the second is, was there nobody else he could have chosen? Right? Im kvar, you want to talk about someone, why choose yourself? So he says, zen yire bechavana natana. He says, here's the mashal. Pamachat nasa echad lekabetz ma'od, v'karat shemo mochiach mir gdola brad. There was a guy who went to collect money. They announced where he was coming from, v'amad lidrosh. And he got up and he said, v'amar she'eni yodem uma v'enu b'tora klal. He said, I'm nothing, I don't know Torah. Mikol makom lo shiker mi lav sho mochiach mi brad. But he never denied that he was from the Chashuv city of Brod. I don't know why that's Chashuv, but okay. B'yoshaya ashir v'gibor gadol b'irzo, v'yarad minechasav et she'en lo lechem v'simla. V'chol aroa ta aroa she'en ha'osher kinyan atzmi. V'ein mochia gadol mizeh. But he said, look, I'm from this city, and therefore here's my mussar to you. It's well known that there was a rich person, or maybe this guy was rich, and now I'm no longer rich. Right? And that should be enough to humble all of you. The knowledge that wealth is ephemeral. Yeah, Yonatan. Yeah. You could, but why? It seems weird. The Gemara is recording it, and is recording two major members of Chazal doing it consecutively. It doesn't sound like, right? And no one jumps in and says, huh? Really? Really? You would think, right? But the Gemara just records it and moves on. Yeah. Yeah, or so, yeah. Like, there would have been someone who spoke up. You have that, right? So, so Nachal Yaakov continues. He says, "Mi Rebbe Gamkin Yechol Lomot She'ema Melad Kaot." Kibir Rebbe Ayatara Gdula B'Makom Echad Hashamru B'Mitzia. I write the Rebbe Adir Mishvur Malka Vayinasi B'Yisrael Vaybal Yisurin Gadol Ma'od V'Shasha Yotzen And Kavay Azal Kala B'Tlat Amil. Said Rav was unique because Rav, Rebbe was rich, right? He was richer than the king. He was richer than Shfur Malka, right? King Shafur. He was a Nasi, so he was politically powerful. He had it all. But the Gemara says that later in his life, God punished him with tremendous stomach pains, so that when he would go to the bathroom, he would scream and you'd hear him 300 mil away, which is an exaggeration, but whatever. Meaning Rebbe had everything, and then he's suffering because, right, he didn't have mercy on the goat, if you know this story, right? On the calf, rather. Right? The calf was going out to be shechted, it ran away. Rebbe said, why are you running away? This is why you were created. And God said, you didn't have mercy on the calf, right? I'm going to punish you with this suffering. It's an agadata for its own time. The Einon Mitbal El Meriat Ayin. The Kol Masher Rog Dulat Rebbe Visurin Shal Nishbar Libo Bekirbo. And anyone who would think about Rebbe, who had it all, and then was punished in this unbelievably degrading way, right? His heart would break. They'd look and say, wow, wealth and power, that's not a reason to be arrogant. It could disappear like that, and you'll be suffering. So when it said Rebbe died, it didn't mean that he was an anav. It meant that his story helped motivate people to take it down a notch. And Rabbi Yosef is the same. Why? Exactly, because he was also used to be rich, and he was a big Talmud Chacham. But by the end of his life, he was blind, right? And he had Alzheimer's or something like that, and he forgot his learning. He lost it all. So Rabbi Yosef wasn't piping up and saying, I'm humble, he's saying, right? he totally reinterprets the Gemara. It's not saying that Rebbe was humble and I'm humble. It's saying Rebbe's life story was enough to bring everybody down a notch. And when they said, well, Rebbe was the last one, he said, what about me? I had everything also, and now I have nothing. I'm blind, and I forgot my learning, right? You can learn humility from me too, right? Maybe I should have put the Nachlat Yaakov earlier, right? Nachlat Yaakov is not really reinterpreting Anava, right? He's totally rereading the Gemara. He's saying the Gemara doesn't mean Rebbe was an Anav and Yosef is an Anav. He's saying Rebbe can teach you humility by showing you that everything in life is ephemeral. And Rabbi Yosef was saying, my life teaches you the same. Yeah. You could, right? You could say that, right? Right? You could say the same, is that the person who recognizes that everything is ephemeral will himself, no matter how great he is, recognize that he's not that great. Right? You could say that too. Right? Okay, so what do we have so far? Let me just summarize what we have. I'll take it in a second. Right? So directions we can take. We have the direction attributed to the Gra, which is? Ignore it. Right? We have those who say, no, humility really is, don't brag, but exceptional circumstances. They don't want people to lose hope and not even try. Marsha, Marat Ayin, right? We have the Nachlat Yaakov who says, maybe it's not saying that he was humble, he's saying you can learn humility from my life story, right? Then you have the fundamental attempts to actually redefine humility. So the first we have is the Yismach Moshe, who says, humility isn't about bragging or not bragging, it's about whether you treat yourself as greater than others, or you let others be greater than you. And therefore, Yosef may have been declaring that he was humble, but he treated others greater than him. Humility is really about how you treat others and whether you lord yourself over them, not about bragging, not bragging. Yeah. Correct, correct. It could be that my life will get you to your Eshchedin, yeah. Meaning after that, the chance at humility disappeared. It's a hard read of the Gemara, but okay. The one that I find most compelling is the Netziv. Okay? The Netziv in two places takes a different approach. And he says, no. The key to this Gemara is really straight up to redefine humility. And he says, humility is an honest assessment of who you are. Right, we think of humility as thinking of yourself as lower than you are, and therefore we can't imagine someone stating a fact of themselves and us saying, oh, that's bragging. He says, that's not what humility is. Humility is knowing who you are and knowing who you're not. Knowing your strengths and knowing your weaknesses. Right? Arrogance is thinking you're greater than you are. But therefore, if someone is in fact humble, right, and they acknowledge it, that's fine. That's actually humble. That's not a different thing, which is Shval Ruach. Right? But Anava isn't, right, self-abnegation. It's an honest assessment of self. Yeah, Yonatan.
Just to be clear, are they redefining what humility is, or are they making what was a clear definition of humility, more?
I mean, they're defining what maybe we wouldn't have known, right? Meaning, this surprising Gemara for them is what motivates them to say, Anava is not what you would have thought, right? I don't know what they thought, right? It's correct, meaning clearly most people don't think of Anava this way, right? But he's saying, but this is what it means, okay? So if you look, he says this most clearly in Hamak Davar, also in Merame Sada, and the Griz following that Beit Midrash, right? Meaning the Briskarav is, you know, a few generations after, and it's Ivan Balazhin, so he's, you know, from that world, so he's going to say it also. He's his, whatever, great-grandson. I don't know, Eskia, say for the family tree. I don't know, right? Beis HaLevi, what? Netziv, 1 second. It's Netziv Beis HaLevi. Yeah, I think it's great-grandson, something like that. Okay. Anyways, so Amik Davar says, this is his Peirush on Chumash. V'ish Moshe, Anav, Berach Hatuv, D'lo Mishum Moshe V'tzaro Ana Hashem, Ki Echid L'Cholish Dato, V'emet Moshe L'Cholish Klal L'Zed, Ish Moshe Anav, God didn't intervene with Moshe because Moshe wanted to. Moshe didn't care. He was an anav. Right? God intervened because Moshe needs to be intervened for. Fine. Umashmaud anav. What does it mean to be an anav? What does it mean to be humble? She'ena choshesh lechvodo v'tzaro. First of all, it means you don't care about your honor. Right? You're not obsessed about your honor. V'lo mishum shu shafel batzmo. But not because you self-abnegate, right? That you think less of yourself. Ve'enu makir batzmo, and you don't know who you are. She'enu ra'uy lazeh, you think that you're not worthy. Right? Atzar v'ader v'akavod. Ela mashmod anav shu mitaheg b'lich shashol kvodo. It just means that you don't function because you're worried about your honor. Behind the domer of Yosef, lo tidni anav adika ana. What he's saying is, I'm humble. Meaning what? He quotes the Gemara that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbah were both in line for Rosh Yeshiva, and in the years that Rabbi Yosef wasn't Rosh Yeshiva, he didn't take advantage of his status as Talmud Chacham. He never even called a doctor to do a house visit. He would always go to the bloodletter. Meaning, anava means to know who you are, right? And to therefore live a life where you don't care about honor. It doesn't mean you deny who you are. It just means you're not trying to self-aggrandize. You're not looking, right? You're not looking around to make yourself greater. It's, I know who I am, and that's it. I'm aware of who I am, and I live my life, and I don't care about it, right? I'm just aware, right? But I don't aggrandize. I don't take advantage of my status. Right? So it's some combination of the lording over others, right? Some combination of that. And he says in Merome Sada in 10, Anavein Ashliflur Halev, right? It's not self-abnegation. What is it? Elan Haga bin Bnei Adam Shalom Gasud. It means to act humbly, not, right? Not the way the Nachlat, the Yismach Moshe Nesli says, not to treat everyone as greater than you. Simply to not look for honor, because you don't attribute it to yourself. You know who you are, but that's not, it's not to be motivated by honor. And to therefore look for honor, to look to be honored. Right? You can have a fair assessment of who you are. You just can't live a life in which you try to take advantage of that. Right? It's not about treating others as better than you either. Right? That was the Nachlat, that was the Yismach Moshe. Right, you have to treat others as better than you. You have to drive yourself down, even if you know that you're humble. He's saying that's not what it is. It's to live a life where you know you are, but you don't take advantage of your position. You don't try to aggrandize. You don't try to get people to respect you. Right? You just honor. You can know who you are as long as honor isn't what motivates you. Right? That respect isn't what you're motivated by. That's humility. Right? Yeah. Exactly. And that's why I think this is important. This is why I wanted to do it before Yom Kippur. Is that I think the Nitziv's perspective is really important. Right? The Nitziv is saying, look, humility isn't about pretending that you aren't who you are. It's important to know you are, including your good qualities. Right? What's important about anava is to live a life where you don't seek to take advantage of it. But it's important to, if you actually have a quality, It's not a good midah to deny that you have that quality. What advantage does that give you? You're supposed to know who you are, right? It's humility means to live a life where you don't expect anything in return. You don't say, "Oh, I'm the best," and therefore you're allowed to say, "I'm smart," right? But you live a life where you say, "I'm smart," and therefore I will contribute with my intelligence to the community, rather than "I'm smart," I expect the community to, right, respect me for it, right? Humility just means you don't live a life in which you're motivated by honor. But there's not a value in not knowing who you are. You can know who you are, you can acknowledge who you are and the qualities you have and still be humble, right? The Grizz says this as well. And he says it slightly, right, as well. He says, look, if someone said, "I'm not blind," would you say, "Aha, arrogant," right? No. Right, he says more clearly, right, the aspect of it's about self-worth, right? Even more clearly than Nitziv. The Nitziv says it's a little bit about knowing who you are, but primarily by not living a life of honor. The Grizz goes farther and says, no. What you learn from here is that the definition of anava is simply a true knowledge of self rather than an outsized knowledge of self. Right? So he says in what should be 11, but it's just between 10 and 11, right? Second line, anava eina ihakart erech atzmo. Right? Humility is not knowing who you are. Rak anava eino machzik tova latzmo. Begain erko. It's someone who doesn't, right, think that it's magiali, because, right, that I deserve something for who I am. Sharezu tachlet yitzira. You recognize that you have a purpose in creation. If you're living up to it, great. But nothing, you don't deserve anything for it, right? You don't deserve extra for it. You're doing what you're supposed to do. Acknowledge it and continue doing it. Like the Mishnah says in Lamata Torah Harbe, Al Tachzik Tova La'atzmicha. If you learned a lot of Torah, don't think that you're so great. Kilkach Matzarta, that's what you should be doing. If you didn't learn, that'd be a problem. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm humble. I don't want anything for it. Right? I don't want you to respect me for it. I just want you to know. This is the truth. There still is anava. Acknowledge it. Right? And I think this perspective, that anava isn't about self-abnegation, it's not about denying who we are, we're supposed to know who we are, we're supposed to acknowledge it, but it's to recognize that even if you have good malot, you have good qualities that you're supposed to recognize, you can acknowledge that, you can internalize it, but transform that into responsibility rather than, right, rights. Right? The anava is to recognize that, sure, I may have qualities, but that only puts responsibilities on my shoulders. It doesn't entitle me to anything. Right? It's to live a life of which is oriented around duty and responsibility rather than entitlement. Right? That's humility. Right? For the Netziv and Grizz in slightly different ways. Okay. What time is it? Okay, so the Ben Yoyada takes another slightly different approach. Maybe we won't get to it. So let's skip to 12. The Mishnah in Avot says, Rabbi Levitas Ishiavne Omer Ma'od Ma'od Evishval Ruach. Be very, very humble. Right? Chetikvat Enosh Rima. Because your hope in the end is worms, right? You know, you'll die and you'll be eaten by worms. So it's very Yisrael, their comment in the last source. Lefiyani Da'ati, he says the same thing. He says, Da'anav Hu Amakir Gdulat Erko. To be humble is to know who you are. Know your value. Vafilu hachi, even though you know who you are, einu mityaher, it doesn't get to your head. Elaman michad es mo b'chesed, right? Aval shafel ruachu shlibo nishba birkebo. He says, yes, anav is self-worth. But he suggests, but there is another value. That's called shval ruach. That there is a certain value. Right? And Siv doesn't say this, but the very Yisrael says, anava is self-worth. Knowing your self-worth and not letting it get to your head. But there is a separate value that sometimes self-abnegation, which we call shval ruach, that is valuable. Biado kol chazadam yatsrim lefanav tamid. But even that, he thinks, is not fake self-abnegation. Like saying I'm terrible, it's to actually, right, it's similar to anava, but it's anava, you can say how good you are and still be an anav. But if anava is about recognizing your self-worth, then that means that sometimes what are you going to focus on? Your faults that other people may not be aware of. That generates shval ruach, which is a moment where you feel that, well, other people aren't aware of the problems I have internally, and therefore that does generate a certain, I don't want to say inferiority, but a certain, right, a little bit of taking you down a notch, not because that's not where you belong, but because sometimes people treat you based on what they perceive. And sometimes it's important to be honest with yourself, which sometimes means taking yourself down a notch from what other people see, right? Because of what you know about yourself is true. That doesn't mean you have to tell the world, but there is a certain shval ruach, which is to acknowledge to yourself your faults and let that take you down a notch from where you might be naturally if you didn't think about it too much. So anava is just knowing who you are. Shvaruach is sometimes specifically focusing on your flaws to recognize where you are, but allow that to take you down, which you wouldn't if you only, right? Because someone could, look, acknowledge his positives and not blow them up, but that doesn't mean he fully embraces his flaws. And Tiferet Yisrael is saying anava is recognizing even your good qualities, but not blowing them out of proportion, not letting them get to your head. Shvaruach is allowing you to feel the consequences of being not perfect. And that's what says Moshe's anav. Did Moshe not know he was the greatest person taught to God? No one else ever did. So Moshe, he really was that great. He was just an anav. He didn't have obvious chesronot. He really was basically perfect. So he was an anav. But he says there's another, right? So he says there are two models. There are people who are anav because they don't have so many flaws. They just need to make sure to focus on who they are and not let it blown out. Who's the classic for him, Shval Ruach? David. Because David messed up, right? David made mistakes, and therefore a fair assessment of himself would have brought him down to earth. And that's why he says, David was a Shafal Bainai, Kim Rov Dachno Tehillim Bofen Zeh. And he says, that's what you've seen a lot of Tehillim. Etc. But he said this is, right, internal, right? But it's not just internal, right? That's machshavot. It's, right, it really needs to right, affect the way you relate to other people, right? Ma'od mo'od shval ruach. So, what I think is important about this sugya, again, it's one line, right? Remember, this all came from one line, which was somewhat humorous. And as we saw this attributed to the Gra is so bothered, he just ignores it. Then there are those who are saying, no, I'm going to stick with what I thought before. Humility is not bragging. And then they say, well, this is exceptional, etc. And other than the Mepharshim saying, no, this is an opportunity for us to go back and say, maybe we got Anava wrong, right? Maybe Anava is about how I relate to others. Maybe Anava is recognizing self-worth. And maybe both are true. There's a value in just recognizing self-worth, and that's anava, and not letting it get to your head, and not thinking that magiali because of it, and not letting it become entitlement. There's also a value to a certain level of self-abnegation, not fake self-abnegation, but being honest with yourself about your flaws. And if that takes you down a notch, so then it takes you down a notch. But that's shval ruach, that's not anava. Anava just means knowing who you are. Right, and again, as I think, as we go into Yom Kippur, this was a nice little gotta to think about, right? Because, you know, it's very easy on Yom Kippur to think the goal is to come out of it thinking we're terrible. That's not the goal. The goal of Yom Kippur is to go through it and say, look, I have certain good qualities, but in the future year, I'm going to develop them more. Or maybe I have certain good qualities, but I was derelict in maximizing the good I could have done with those qualities, right? If all you do is you say you're terrible, that's not a good way to motivate yourself to actually accomplish good. But to say there's a value in saying, I know who I am, I know my benefits, but I'm not going to let it get to my head. I mean, instead going to translate that into treating others with respect, translating it into expressing responsibility and fulfilling the duties that come from my good qualities. I'm going to be honest with myself about my flaws, because I need to know the negatives about myself also. To think about both of those aspects when it comes to Yom Kippur and to take advantage of that self-knowledge, right? That's a very important perspective of going to Yom Kippur, and to not treat, you know, Ashamnu Bagadnu as I'm terrible, there's no hope for me, God just forgive me. Right? That's not a productive way to go in Yom Kippur. Right? A productive way to go in Yom Kippur is said, God, I actually have a certain amount of self-control, but I didn't always succeed. But sometimes I did. So this year I'm going to be a little bit better. I'm smart. I'm not stupid. I'm smart. But I'm going to use that to learn. I'm going to use that to help others. right? I am a good leader, right? But I'm not going to become a leader so that people look up to me. I'm going to become a leader to inspire others, right? I can lead without lording over others, right? That's the type of perspective. When we're acknowledging our sins, it's not to think we're terrible. It's to honestly say, these are my chesronot, these are my lacks, and these are my good qualities, and commit to using those in the next year properly, right? That's the midah that seems to be intimated here. And that's why it's not contradictory to say, yeah, I'm an anav, right? I have yeras chet. That is my, right? I have that quality, right? I don't want anything for it, but I have it. That's not my challenge. I'm successfully an anav, and therefore I'm going to do good because I have that quality, right? That is Rabbi Yosef, right? And I think, again, I think that perspective is important because otherwise it's just too easy on Yom Kippur to think it's a day of blowing your faults out of proportion, thinking that's what God wants. That's not what God wants. God wants you to take a fair assessment of your qualities and your faults, be honest about who you are, so that you can honestly figure out where you want to go from there. Right? I think that's the perspective that emerges from the Sagarata. So with that, Gmar Chatima Tova. As I said, Ben Yoyada has a little bit more on it, but we ran out of time, so...